live from Chicago. This is Bruce Dumont. We continue with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics tonight, featuring commentary by our conservative, that's Marty Garrity, our liberal is Michael Golnick, and Charles Lipson of the University of Chicago joins us. He is our political science professor. Our phone lines open toll-free at 1-800-723-8289. That's 1-800-723-8289. Well, if you're a baseball fan, you know that Major League Baseball, the pitchers and catchers have gone back and spring training has started all over the many of the baseball areas where they have spring training every year in Arizona and California and also in the great state of Florida. And one of the issues that is facing Major League Baseball on the eve of this new season is a very dynamic charge made in a new book by Jose Canseco. The name of the book is Juiced, Wild Times, Rampant Roids, Smash Hits, and How Baseball Got Big. And in the book, Jose Canseco, who was a major baseball star for quite some time, 16 big league careers, played with seven teams, hit about 442 homers, played with the Chicago White Sox for a while, and Oakland A's was certainly the major part of his career. But he basically has said that some of the biggest names in baseball, including himself, were regular users of steroids. Question to you, Michael Golnick. In real life, you're a sports talk show host at ESPN, AM 1000 here in Chicago. Have you talked an awful lot about this subject, and what's the general sense of fans as to whether Jose Canseco is telling the truth, or is he just trying to sell some books?
It's a major topic of conversation, and I think the majority of people believe what he has to say, or at least a significant amount of what he has to say, because I think you'd be naive if you didn't think that this was rampant in Major League Baseball. You can even our own, you know, former hero, Sammy Sosa, when you saw that Sammy was shrinking, the amazing shrinking Sammy, it started to raise a lot of concerns and questions about it. So I think people believe what Jose has to say. I mean, and the people that don't agree with him, or don't believe him, rather, right away attack his character. You don't have to have impeccable character to be telling the truth. And I think in this case, he's telling the truth.
I'm kind of shocked people doubt it. I mean, it's so obvious to me. Bruce, you can remember. Marty, you can remember what really great baseball players looked like in the 1950s, looked like in the 1960s. Even the most muscular guys, the Ted Kluczynskis and so forth.
Kluczynski.
And he cut off his head. Rocky Colavito. They didn't look like these guys.
Banks and Henry Aaron. These guys were skinny.
It raises a very interesting question as to what you're going to do when Barry Bonds breaks the home run record. What are you going to do about all these 70 home run seasons?
Marty, what's your take? You're a lifelong baseball fan.
I remember Sammy Sosa coming up, and he was a terrific base stealer. He was a skinny little guy who probably stole 40 or 50 bases one year. And one year, he just started hitting home runs. I mean, he'd hit 20 or 25 home runs a year, but suddenly he's hitting 40 and 50. You have to wonder about these kinds of things.
How could these guys, and I'm not going to name the names here, but how could these guys, and again, some major names, we'll name them throughout the program, how could they get away with it? I mean, didn't the owners, didn't sportscasters, I mean, everybody, as you said, if everybody believed it, Mike, what was going on here?
You know what, 1998 was the renaissance for Major League Baseball because the strike in 94 hurt the game tremendously, and it took them until 98 to recover. And then what you had was this great story with McGuire and Sosa, and we can mention Mark McGuire being one of those names, and McGuire and Sosa in the race for the record and all that, it captured the imagination of people who weren't even baseball fans. With that in mind, Major League Baseball, knowing what was going on, looked the other way.
Two things were going on. The owners were benefiting from this race. It was putting bottoms on seats. And the union, which is extremely strong in Major League Baseball, starting with Marvin Miller and now his successor, have essentially not allowed serious testing. It's only with the threat, which we talked last hour about John McCain. John McCain has talked about putting in federal testing on this. It was with that threat hanging over them that they've allowed more testing.
Well, when they were looking the other way, though, this was also in the wake of the strike, I believe, of 1995. And at that particular 1994, there were people really wondering whether or not a number of franchises were going to go south.
That's right.
Because there was some real doubt as to whether or not the sport was going to survive in any significant way.
You've explained it. You've explained it.
Would the fans come back? And it was really a big issue. And so the owners didn't want to lose them, didn't want to lose their business, and the players were getting great money out of their contract.
But it's fundamentally unfair. I mean, let's talk. Let's say what's wrong with it. It's not only wrong because the players harm themselves and harm their bodies. What's wrong with it is that some players will use it, other players don't. It completely corrupts a set of records that we have. We don't allow you to come up to the plate with baseball bats that are made like a modern golf clubs that could send the ball a long distance. We don't allow this. And the fact that some players have cheated is fundamentally unfair.
But another problem, you know, you guys talked about the players of the past that did this naturally. Well, there are players of the present that do it naturally, too.
Exactly.
I'm not a White Sox fan, but a perfect example is Frank Thomas. You know, Frank Thomas hit those home runs naturally. Frank Thomas has never been anyone, has never been a guy suspected of using anything illegal. And yet, Frank Thomas, or anybody else that has a tremendous home run season, especially a guy that hasn't done it in the past and all of a sudden has a breakthrough season, there's always going to be that cloud of suspicion. That's incredibly unfair to guys that don't cheat. And another thing that we need to look at, there are pitchers out there who have done this too. Everybody talks about the hitters.
No, I don't know about this. Well. Tell me about the pitcher.
Roger Clemens
is supposed to be.
And what does it do for the pitchers?
What it does for all of the
stronger.
Athletes, it makes them stronger, but it also helps them come back from injuries.
True.
You know, I mean, if you think about it, Frank Thomas is a terrific guy who's been injured. You know, if he were taking steroids, maybe that injury wouldn't have lasted so long.
Of course, it's not just baseball. We have the Olympics now. Sprinters in the Olympics are not even tested for the drugs. They're tested for the masking agents.
Is there a role, you talked about John McCain, is there a role and should there be a role for the federal government in this particular case?
What my personal answer would be no. I do not like to see the federal government doing everything. If baseball can't clean up its own acts, so much the worse for them. I don't think the federal government should intervene in the hockey strike.
Marty, what about it?
I agree completely. Are you talking like a Republican here, Charles? You better not let them know at the University of Chicago that you...
Mike, what about...
I may shock you even more because I think the federal government has more problems and more serious issues to work on than steroids, and I do think it's up to the individual leagues to patrol and
police
themselves.
If we find steroids in Iraq, I think we should stay and clean it up.
Now, also, you know, don't forget that in Jose's book, it talks about when George W. Bush was the owner of the Rangers, that Canseco claims that Bush knew about...
Actually, Canseco claims that he figures Bush must have known about it. He never actually encountered Bush. He just
How could
Bush
any major league owner not be aware of this if it's going on?
It's hard to imagine.
I mean, just the conversation we're having right now. Some of these conclusions are common sense conclusions that you would think that grown men who own major league baseball teams would know about it. 1-800-723-8029 is the phone number. We're talking tonight in this hour. We're talking about steroid use in Major League Baseball. What impact, if any, will it have on the future of the national pastime? I'm Bruce Dumont from coast to coast and border to border tonight, taking America's political pulse about steroids.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. A leading consumer testing magazine warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums or wear a dust mask. But here's a better idea. Try my newest 8-pound Oric XL Free for 30 days. It cleans the air as it vacuums your floors. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. Then if you still want a bagless vacuum, I'll send you a dust mask to wear.
If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, there's a Bayer made just for your heart, and it can have a big impact on your life. It's Bayer Low Dose. It was the first low-dose safety-coated aspirin, and it can significantly reduce your risk of a heart attack. Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. And remember, no other brand prevents more heart attacks than Bayer. The more you know, the more you trust Bayer.
Thank you. From Lynchburg, Virginia to Pullman, Washington, you are listening to Beyond the Beltway, 1-800-723-8289. We've got callers on the line. Let's head to San Diego, where Chuck is listening to us on KOGO. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Thank you, Bruce. I think if a player, regardless of the sport, tests positive for steroids the first time, he should be suspended for a year. Second offense, kicked out for life. These players are willing to cheat the sport for the money and fame. And I think that the drug is a lot more dangerous than cocaine and marijuana. It affects these people's aggressiveness and creates stuff like roid rage. And if we're not going to do it, I suggest we change the name of home runs to home roids.
Just not to hemorrhoids. What do you think of this? You're a tough law and order guy. I mean, some of the changes that everybody's agreed to right now, still it's... You got about three or four shots before you're going to be suspended.
That's right. It is really the new Major League rules appear to be a little bit tougher than last year's rules. When in fact last year, once you were tested in a year, they were not allowed to come back and test you again. So they all tried to get tested early on, and then they can go the rest of the year without being tested.
Publicity really makes a difference. Remember, on corking a bat, it's not that you're out for a year or something. It's that you become known as a cheater. It's not even clear it really helps you. But if they publicized the names of people and had frequent random tests, that would matter.
By the way, the new Major League Baseball rule, the new policy, first offense is a 10-day suspension. By the fourth offense, it's a one-year suspension. The U.S. Olympic policy, however, on steroids puts a two-year ban from all international competition for first-time offenders.
Chuck in San Diego has the right idea.
You're talking about a sport in baseball that had Steve Howe, who was a pitcher back in the 80s, test positive for cocaine use about 27 times. And he's still
Daryl
mad
Strawberry. At least that wasn't... cheating. That was a violation of the law, but cocaine doesn't make you throw a pitch better. Cocaine doesn't help you hit a ball out of the park. He wasn't cheating the sport the way these guys are.
Yeah, but baseball, you know, Charles mentioned the Players Union. There's no question the Baseball Players Union is the most powerful sports union. And in terms of the harsh penalty of kicking somebody out for a full season, the Players Union will not allow that to happen, especially on a first or second offense.
You said a little bit earlier that just because someone may not have credibility, it doesn't mean they can't tell the truth. I'm paraphrasing what you had to say. Let's spend a couple of moments, however, of talking about what the motivation for Jose Canseco might be. I mean, one of the things which a number of people have suggested is that he may be in some dire straits financially. And so he wants to come out with a book that has explosive charges. He also, in a world of egomaniacs, he is a superstar, and someone who perhaps is very concerned that he's not going to get to the 500 home run club, and that in essence is going to keep him from being in the Hall of Fame. Writing this book is certainly going to keep him from the Hall of Fame.
Oh, absolutely.
But any other thing that you would like to say about his motivation?
Motivation, I think, clearly part of it is money. I don't doubt for a second that Jose Canseco has some financial issues. That still doesn't erase the probability in my mind that he's telling the truth, by and large. I mean, these are very sensational accusations that he's making, but they're believable accusations.
One of the guys that he accused is a fellow named Brett Boone, and he said, we were playing the Mariners, Boone was with the Mariners at the time, in spring training, and I hit a double, and I got out to second base, and I took a look at Boone. And he's enormous. He's a huge guy. He must be doing these
roids.
Roids.
Not
doing that one.
That's
he's
George
doing
Brett.
Preparation.
Turns
that
out
was
George
right.
Brett.
Turns out Canseco never played the Mariners during spring training of 2001. He was never on second base looking over Brett Boone's body. And Boone is, and it's just as well for Brett Boone, I guess, but Boone is saying, hey, this is a lie about me. So what happens is Canseco gets caught in this particular lie, and then people think they have the right to say, well, then he must be lying about everything. And it's crazy. He is telling the truth in most cases.
The one issue I have with the book, guys, is it's one thing to talk about Mark McGwire or talk about Rafael Palmeiro or guys that you played with personally. It's another thing to say that even though we all believe that Sammy Sosa used steroids, it's another thing to say, I think Sammy Sosa used steroids because he got so much bigger. Or I feel it was likely that Roger Clemens used steroids because, as you said, able to recover from injuries. He got so much stronger. See, that's where I draw the line. It's one thing to say, I played with this guy, I injected him, that's how I know. It's entirely another thing, and I think it's crossing the line when you then speculate as to who's using according to how big they became.
But let's talk about what was said to the grand jury in San Francisco by Jason Giambi. And let's talk about the friend and advisor to Barry Bonds. Let's talk about what this does to Barry Bonds and whether or not this is something you talked about, Charles, the viability of his records, you know, if and when he breaks Babe or Hank Aaron's record, how should we respond
to
it?
They have a little syringe next to the number.
No asterisk.
I mean, no asterisk, a little syringe. I mean, what he's done in terms of home run hitting is truly astounding. I mean, look, I could take all the steroids I wanted. I couldn't hit home
That's right.
runs.
You
I mean, this
still
is
have
a great
to hit,
athlete.
You still have to hit a
this
curveball.
This is a great athlete.
That's right.
And it is a terrible shame that he cheated as well. I mean, as you mentioned in the last hour, I've written a book, Doing Honest Work in College. I've been reading a lot, thinking a lot, talking a lot with people about integrity. I mean, this just fails the very basic test.
But also, if you knock and you have besmirched the reputation of Barry Bonds, which this leaked grand jury testimony certainly has for the last year,
mm-hmm. yeah.
the next person in line is Mark McGwire.
Right.
And now he's gone, at least to some, already.
And then Giambi goes out and apologizes, but won't say what he's apologizing for.
Yeah, that's right. He said
legally. I mean, that was ludicrous.
Could, exactly.
I apologize unreservedly for what people said, and he won't say.
Bruce, you asked the question, what effect is this going to have on Barry Bonds? I'm going to tell you exactly the effect it has on Barry Bonds. ESPN Radio did a poll a few days ago asking people, are you rooting for Barry Bonds to break the record? And I believe it was something like 70-30 against wanting him to break the record. People are going to boo this man. Here's somebody under normal circumstances, with what he has accomplished, under normal circumstances, should earn standing ovations in every ballpark he walks into. But because of the steroid cloud over him, and likely rightfully so, people are rooting against him. And the reason they're rooting against him is because the records he's breaking were done by people who did it naturally.
And also we should mention that he is not even showing up at spring training this year with the Giants, and I would assume that he doesn't want to be bombarded every single day by reporters. He's
not very well liked anyway.
No,
well, I mean,
but again,
he's not going to break the record either, because he's going to get hurt. He's going to bump his knee, or he's hurt now apparently, and without steroids, he's not going to be able to recover.
We are going to Adam, listening to us in Barrington, Illinois, on WLS. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Good day, gentlemen. I actually can't believe what I'm hearing. I think that it's somewhat ludicrous to even think that if Bonds had not used steroids, he wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. The guy was a certified Hall of Famer before injuries. Hell, he was well on his way to the Hall of Fame in Pittsburgh. With that stated, all along, I was born and raised in St. Louis. I have a business in Chicago. I've been living here for the last 7 years. Whenever I made it home to go to a ball game with my old man, I mean, if you just looked at McGwire, whether it was at Mike Shannon's place or any other place, if you caught the guy on town, the guy was a horse. There's no in hell that reporters and guys in the media such as yourselves didn't know or didn't think that McGwire was on steroids. Come on, the guy's forearms are like thighs. As far as Bonds,
here's the point we're trying to make here tonight is, we all thought that, we may have believed that, sports writers may have talked about it amongst themselves, but until that grand jury information was leaked, that made the whole discussion in a public discourse a viable discussion.
Well, to a certain extent, I agree with you guys, but like, as I feel and as I stated earlier, and I just have two more points to make, and I do your show, and when I can't listen to it, I try to get it on whenever I can.
And don't forget, if you're listening in the Chicagoland area, if you missed the radio show, the television version is on every Sunday night, at 10:30 on WYCC Channel 20.
Sure. Now, I have two more very brief points. The other thing is, as far as steroids and home runs, if my recollection is correct, Ted Williams maybe weighed 170 soaking wet. The guy put him out the park at will. Home runs are as much about hand-eye coordination as they are about as it is about strength. If you can make contact with the ball at the right time, you're gonna pretty much put some balls in play. And also with that status, you guys touched on politicians getting off into this. Earlier today, I'm watching Wolf Blitzer, and he had David Stern and a couple of NBA players on there.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy has the audacity to ask David Stern if an 18-year-old should be allowed into the National Basketball Association. That's absurd. I mean, hell, if I had a kid who's 18, he's coming out of high school, and if someone tells my kid, hey, you can make $2 million a year, you come play for us, if any coach tries to deter my kid, I'll sue the pants off of him. Because there's not a university in this country that you can't walk on with $2 million.
All right, listen, we gotta move on, but thanks very much for your call. 1-800-723-8029. Steroids in baseball. Do you believe all the allegations of Jose Canseco? If you believe them, what impact will it have on your love affair, if you have one, with a great game of baseball? Back shortly.
Now for a traffic update, we go to Kelly Clark. Kelly, how's it looking out there?
Well, if you've got to get anywhere, I hope you have lots of time. Uh-oh. All northbound lanes at the Taylor Interchange are backed up. Westbound lanes are at a standstill, and the off-ramp near the Martin Building remains closed, causing major headaches.
Not good.
But I do have good news.
What's that, Kelly?
I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
America is a country of entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner, you're helping shoulder the lion's share of the U.S. economy. You can lighten that load a little at Sam's Club. When you shop at Sam's Club, you get everyday low costs on products you need every day. After all, while you may be carrying around the weight of the American economy, you shouldn't have to do all the heavy lifting by yourself. Join the club. Sam's Club. We are in business for small business.
From Seattle, Washington to El Paso, Texas, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway. Thank you very much for joining us wherever you're listening around the country. Nice to have you with us. If this is the first time you've ever heard this program, well, we've been on about 24 years, so you've missed a lot of the shows.
You got to catch up on a lot.
You
got to
catch up.
You know,
a lot of tapes. We have a lot of them on the website, beyondthebeltway.com. If you want to have a little test, you can do that. Joining us around the table this week, you know, we introduced them as liberals and conservatives at the beginning of the program, but this program, or at least this topic, probably doesn't, you know, augur well for identification of one's, you know, politics. Michael Golnick is here. He is a talk show host for ESPN, that's AM 1000 radio in Chicago. He also does some political talk on WKRS, that's in Waukegan, and he has been involved in Democratic politics for quite some time. Again, talking politics tonight, but in the second hour, given the discussion and all the brouhaha following the steroid allegations in Jose Canseco's new book, we're talking about baseball and steroids, and it's also will broaden it, its impact on youngsters as well. Marty Gjody also joins us. He's our card-carrying conservative Republican, a longtime Chicago Cub fan, along with Mike. You can see you guys are on the same page. You're both Cub fans.
I knew there was something right about this guy.
And then there is the baseball astute offerings of a longtime White Sox fan who joins us tonight, and that is Charles Lipson from the University of Chicago, author of a new book called Doing Honest Work in College.
But I got to ask Marty something. Marty, did you ever read George Will's article on how being a Chicago Cub fan made him a conservative?
That's right.
He said that liberals believe in the perfectibility of mankind. Mm-hmm. Conservatives and Cub fans know better.
Yeah, you see, I put this in my bio that I gave Bruce, that I've got two young sons, 5 and 2, and I'm raising them to be Democratic Cub fans, which means they're in for, God willing, long lifetime of disappointment.
Let's go to Batavia, Illinois, where Ed is listening to the program this evening. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, gentlemen. Cubs fan who moved here from New York. The reason I called is I had a classmate in a high school in Westchester, New York, 6'4" and 175 pounds. He was drafted by the Cincinnati Reds out of high school for 2 years. He passed on it, and he went to Harvard. Graduated Harvard and put up big numbers in Harvard. He was drafted by the Athletics in 1980. Played double-A ball for the Athletics that summer and put up good numbers for the Athletics, good enough where they came to him after the summer and said, kid, you're big enough. We think that you can be a power hitter. This is the program we want to put you on this winter. And that program is we're going to put you on a protein diet and we're going to give you a prescription for vitamins. He says, guys, cut to the chase, please. You don't need a prescription for vitamins. And they said, well, they're anabolic steroids. They're going to make you stronger. They're going to make you hit faster. And they're going to give you the power because we believe that you can be a big home run hitter. He says, guys, I don't do drugs. I don't smoke. I don't drink. And Oakland management, which was, I believe, Charlie Finley at the time, said, if you don't go with the program, we're going to blackball you. And he said, pay me my money. And he left the organization. Hmm. And this is a firsthand. I know the kid.
Huh. Well, that's a devastating story about...
1980?
Summer of 80. And if you wanted to call me off the line, I can give you documentation on that.
I'm gonna put you on hold because that's a dynamic piece of information that you share tonight. Is that person still a friend of yours?
Yes, he is. There's other documentation behind that which would really give you some interesting background.
And that person would be willing to talk about it?
I believe he would.
Okay. I'm going to put you on hold. You have offered quite a piece of information here. And while we have Mike with us in the studio. Mike, again, we can't... is this a believable story? We're not going to pass veracity on our caller or his friend, but again, in your view, is this a believable story?
Yeah, it is a believable story, and that makes me sad to say. You know, we focus so much on, you know, how could these teams not know? Well, we haven't really focused on the possibility that some of these teams have actually been in favor of this type of usage. Not only do they know about it, but they've actually been proponents of it. It all comes down to putting fannies in the seats and winning ball games.
When did steroids, Mike, when did they become known as something that was a sort of illicit enhancer? Right now, you can take all the vitamins you want.
Yeah.
It's not considered a wrong thing. But when did steroids...
It seems to me that it became a story in the 90s, you know, in the late 90s, when we started to finally question how some of these guys went from medium build to huge build overnight. But I don't doubt the fact, and he brings up 1980, I don't doubt the fact that it's been around a lot longer than we think, in one way, shape, or form.
And also, it you know, obviously sports is a form of entertainment, and if you look at the elsewhere in the entertainment world, whether it's rock musicians or even you know, some television personalities, if you are successful, if you are bringing a lot of money into a network or a record company, that record company wants to keep you doing what you do well.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that because you are utilizing drugs and putting the fannies in the seats or selling records or the ratings are good, there certainly is a consistency when you look at the bottom line. And the bottom line is, I want to make money. I really don't care what impact I may have on an individual person.
That's right.
And their health,
right.
As long as I'm making money.
Change, Bruce. First of all, when the bad publicity gets out there, it could be that baseball teams and the union will itself take a different position. The other group that may want to change their position is, I can believe that advertisers who pick a particular spokesperson, Michael Jordan becomes heavily identified with Nike, they look into his background before they hire him because they become identified with him. And I can believe that advertisers, before they sign on a LeBron James or before they sign on a Roger Clemens or whoever's their spokesperson, that they may want to do some testing themselves.
In your particular case, Ed, is your friend still in the Chicagoland area, and what career path did he choose after saying no to the Oakland A's?
We both grew up in Westchester County, and he is still living in the metropolitan New York City area. And he was an executive with a battery manufacturer for many years. And then to top it off, he was an executive Major League Baseball. I'll go back and give you that team. He was an executive with a team for 10 years.
He was an executive with a team, but not the Oakland A's.
Not the Oakland A's. That's
correct. Has he communicated to you whether or not other teams in Major League Baseball also have this attitude, as did as he alleges the Oakland A's did?
He did not communicate that to me. But in 1968, when I was in camp near Rhinebeck, New York, I had a camp counselor, 6'3". 265 pounds, offensive tackle for the University of Miami. The next summer he came back, he was 175 pounds. And I'm like, what happened? And he says, I'm off the steroids. They were getting me too angry, and I feel much better.
Have you had conversation with him in recent years or months or weeks?
I have. This is my friend who is in baseball. I spoke to him about 2 years ago.
So you've not spoken with him in the wake of the Jose Canseco book?
No.
Okay. Ed, I am going to put you on hold. Our producer, Charles Campbell, is going to get your phone number, okay?
Yeah.
Where we can reach you, and also we'd like to be able to reach your friend as well, and we'll see. Again, you haven't spoken to your friend in 2 years. He may not appreciate what you've just done, but you've certainly offered a rather explosive charge on our program tonight, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you very much. We'll certainly follow up on that. I'm sure that, Mike, that's something that you and the folks over at ESPN would be interested in following up on as well.
Yeah, it's a very interesting story. And, again, I have no reason not to believe that story because Major League Baseball, and this could be said for many of the leagues in professional sports, but we're talking about baseball specifically, they want to win. And many times they want to win at all costs. And anybody that thinks that they have the best interests of their players in mind, again, very naive.
Well, also, I mean, just in the area of entertainment, I mean, you know, we all know the tragedy of, you know, of John Belushi, and we've heard the stories about the high drug use era of Saturday Night Live. I mean, clearly there were executives at NBC that had to know that was going on during the production of that particular show. They didn't clamp down on it. And one of the stars of that show went on and obviously ruined his life because of it. And so It's and also the same thing could be said for executives at Hertz who were aware of some of the problems that O.J. Simpson had. Obviously not murder, but they were aware of some of the problems that O.J. Simpson had personally, and they chose to look the other way because O.J. Simpson was putting people in the seats, Hertz rent-a-car seats.
And because in many cases they're more concerned about coddling the celebrities than they are about actually helping the celebrities. I mean, you brought up Saturday Night Live. Chris Farley was another prime example. Everybody knew that Chris Farley had gotten to the point where he was threatening his life with his drug use. And maybe they'd make a token effort to help him. But to this day, you'll find people very close to Chris Farley who say that nobody, including Lorne Michaels, really tried to help Chris Farley. So the point is well made. You're absolutely right. And instead of helping these people...
Make a buck.
That's right.
Well, I got to say that the political science department at the University of Chicago has pretty much avoided the steroid scandal completely.
Yes, I've seen the class picture. 1-800-723-8029. More calls when we roll on.
More B vitamins, Mom. More iron, Mom.
Maybe kids don't worry about nutrition, but they don't have to when they just say...
More Malto Meal, Mom!
I serve my family Malto Meal because I want them to have a hot, nutritious breakfast. And Malto Meal is loaded with essential vitamins and minerals many other hot cereals don't have, including calcium, B vitamins for energy, and more iron, too.
Malto Meal!
And they love it.
Malto Meal Hot Wheat Cereal in original chocolate and maple and brown sugar.
It's more of what hot cereal's for.
If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, there's a Bayer made just for your heart, and it can have a big impact on your life. It's Bayer Low Dose. It was the first low-dose safety-coated aspirin, and it can significantly reduce your risk of a heart attack. Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. And remember, no other brand prevents more heart attacks than Bayer. The more you know, the more you trust Bayer.
From Las Vegas, Nevada to Sacramento, California, you are listening to Beyond the Beltway. We're talking about steroid use in Major League Baseball, and you had a comment about some things in Jose Canseco's book, which has really prompted this discussion. Jose, of course, a couple of weeks ago was on 60 Minutes. The book is a hot book at the moment. It's called Juiced, Juiced, Wild Times, Rampant Roids, Smash Hits, and How Baseball Got Big. And in the book, he said, Jose Canseco said, I don't know if I'm directly taking on the whole baseball establishment. I'm just basically telling a story of my life. He went on to say that he injected Mark McGwire of the Oakland A's when he was a teammate in Oakland, not in St. Louis. And also he identified when he was with the Texas Rangers, involvement with Juan Gonzalez, Ivan Rodriguez, and Rafael Palmeiro. They have all denied that they were involved in it in any way. They absolutely reject the suggestions. But Jose Canseco has made the charges, and in the court of public opinion, when you make a charge, it sticks to some extent. And, Marty, you had some other points about about the some things that were said by Canseco in that book.
Apparently, not in the book, in the 60 Minutes interview, I guess. Dan Rather asked him, do you think that this
Mike
is...
Wallace.
Mike Wallace asked him, is this the reason you were a Major League caliber player? And Canseco said, yeah, without steroids, he doesn't think he would have been of the caliber to play Major League Baseball. It's unbelievable that he feels that it made that much of a difference. And this is a man who hit 462 home runs.
What impact will it have, in your view, Mike, on this baseball season and the climate within clubhouses?
I think in terms of the baseball season itself, I think it's still going to give you that cloud of suspicion. You know, if you've got somebody who comes out of nowhere this season, a guy who maybe hasn't ever topped 20 home runs in his career, and all of a sudden hits 35, 40 home runs, which isn't beyond the realm of possibility under normal circumstances, right away people are going to start questioning whether or not he's using something along the lines of steroids or finding a way to skirt the tests or whatever. As far as the clubhouses are concerned, I think there's going to be annoyance among the players. And you know what? I don't care. I don't care if they're annoyed by getting tested at inopportune times. I don't care.
Does this move us, Mike, to more small ball, to stealing, to singles and doubles?
I hope so.
To remove the big home run derby?
I hope so. I'll tell you something. I'll tell you who's also largely responsible for this is the media and even companies like ESPN, because when you turn on SportsCenter, they don't show a bunt single. They don't show a guy moving a runner over. They show somebody hitting a 500-foot home run. And I would like to see the return of more fundamental baseball. I would like to see the return of, like you talked about, of the bunting and stealing and the small ball, so to speak. There's always going to be a place in baseball for home runs. Everybody loves home runs. It brings the crowd to its feet. It's wonderful. It's great. But too many teams have become completely reliant on that, and the marketing aspect of the sport has become too reliant. When you look at the NBA, you always see the same.
I think it's very likely that the 23rd man on the roster of a typical baseball club will be asked from time to time to pee in a cup. I don't think that the guy who's up to 35, 40 home runs as of July 15th is going to be subjected to the same kind of scrutiny. He'll defy them. He'll refuse. He'll do this. He'll do it. And they won't enforce it. I don't believe Major League Baseball cares enough about this to go after those guys.
How irate are the fans about this, Mike?
You see, that's where I have trouble. I mean, yes, you take a look at the polling numbers, and they say they're not going to root for Barry Bonds and all that, but baseball fans tend to be very forgiving. Jason Giambi shows up for his press conference outside Yankee Stadium. He's got lines of people waiting for autographs.
Do you think those numbers who are going to root against Barry Bonds include San Francisco fans? I'll bet you 80% of them, 90% of them will be rooting for Barry Bonds to hit another home run.
No, that's probably true.
And if Sammy had stayed in Chicago, the same people who would say
he
think he's on drugs.
What you're saying, getting back to you, Professor, who's written this book, Doing Honest Work in College, what does it say about fans who cheer people who may have been known to do things illegally?
It's one of the least attractive parts of our culture, that you can become very famous for essentially doing infamous things. I mean, look at Monica Lewinsky, who goes on to kind of be a mild celebrity for a few years, and you have all sorts of people who, if they can get away with it, we have a culture of celebrity on the one hand, and we have a media culture that says the bigger you are, the harder you fall. So I think that these things are kind of in a tension with each other.
30 years ago, Jim Boughton, a pitcher with the New York Yankees, wrote the book Ball Four. It took the lid. It took the lid off Major League Baseball, in which he told the story about drinking and carousing and baseball annies and all the things that right. people were stunned to hear.
Mm-hmm.
He was ostracized by the sport,
right.
but nobody ever sued him.
Right.
He lost a lot of friends,
right.
but a layer of baseball was unraveled, and this situation, it seems to me, is that situation times 10.
Well, it was a notorious drunk.
Well, right. You know, and as far as being ostracized, Jose Canseco largely is already ostracized. He was even before this book was written. Another thing this book has in common with Ball Four is both of them are based on, I think, a lot of truths.
But there is one very important difference.
15 seconds.
Ball Four is about things that people did off the ball field. Sometimes they may have gone with a hangover or something, but what Jose Canseco is talking about affects playing between the 90-foot lines.
Joining us tonight, Mike Golick. He's been a sports talk show host and is for ESPN 1000 in Chicago. Also, our liberal Democrat tonight in hour number one. We were talking more, elective politics. Marty Gerdy is also joining us. He is our commercial real estate executive. He's our card-carrying conservative Republican and the ever-popular Charles Lipson from the University of Chicago, author of the book Doing Honest Work in College, has joined us as well. And thank you very much for this interesting conversation. We'll also follow up on that caller we received about allegations against the Oakland A's during this broadcast. This program is a Genevieve production, produced in association with WS News Talk Radio and Wilbur Entertainment. Our thanks to Tom Veracruz and Charles Campbell for their assistance in the production of this program. Until next week at the same time, this is Bruce Dumont. Good night from Chicago.